May the holy names of Jesus and Mary be blessed now and forever. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You might be wondering, brothers and sisters in Christ, why today the priest is wearing a red vestment when you would be expecting in this solemn time of Christmas the priest to be wearing either white or gold. Well, today, in the extraordinary form of the Latin Mass, the Catholic Church gives us the great feast in England, the awesome feast of the martyrdom of the great Saint Thomas of Canterbury, or more commonly known as Saint Thomas Becket. He was born way back in the 12th century, in the year 1117, and was assassinated on this day, December 29th, in the year 1170, in Canterbury Cathedral. Next year, if we do the mathematics, we calculate it will be the anniversary, 850 years since his assassination. What can we learn then about this great saint in England to help us today, especially when we speak about these Christian values of conversion and repentance? We all need conversion in our lives, daily conversion. Conversion, we are not speaking about a conversion, for example, from the Anglican to the Catholic Church, but the conversion we speak about now is an interior conversion of the heart. We can never, as Catholics, reach a point when we say to ourselves, we have converted. Why? Because conversion is of the heart and it happens moment by moment and day by day, until the day our Lord calls us home, God willing, to the eternal bliss of eternity. Sometimes, however, in our life, in this pilgrimage, in this life, God sends us a distinct moment to change our lives, our hearts, and normally this happens in a moment of despair or a near-death experience. This is my own example. After living like a pagan life for 25, 30 years, I went to see a doctor and he gave me a picture of the Divine Mercy, Jesus' Divine Mercy, and said, this image will change your life. You need to start to pray, and he was right. This is the case also for the great saint today, Saint Thomas Becket, who had a near-death experience. Thomas was always holy in his youth, but he was distracted slightly by the pleasure of the time of hunting. One day when he was hunting, he had a great affection for one of his hawks or birds, and this hawk was trying to feed itself and it swooped down into a river. Thomas tried to rescue the hawk and he fell into the stream, which had very strong currents, and the current carried him down to a water mill. He thought he was going to die, but just before he impacted the wheel stopped, which appeared miraculous. Thomas, in his gratitude to God, his deliverer, resolved to live a more holy life when he returned to London. This incident led Thomas to pursue the life of Christian virtue and holiness. What can we learn about the holiness of this great saint? Next to his skin, he always wore a hair shirt or a belt of penance. He wore a habit of the Benedictine monk from the time he was made archbishop. He rose at 2 o'clock in the morning, and straight away after matins he washed the feet of 13 poor persons and he distributed money to these souls. The archbishop took a little rest, and then afterwards he would wash again more poor people. He would read the Holy Scriptures, and he employed people around him who were well versed in the Scriptures to help him interpret these sacred oracles. Such was his holiness that he was favored amazingly with the revelation of his own assassination or his own martyrdom. While he lay prostrate before an altar in prayer and tears, he heard a voice saying distinctly to him, Thomas, Thomas, my church shall be glorified in thy blood. The saint asked, Who art thou, Lord? The same voice answered, I am Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, thy brother. He wept for those who followed him, Thomas, who would be scattered like sheep without a pastor. This is what we read in the Gospel today. I am the good pastor, Thomas a Becket. For God had shown him that he would be slain in the church by four men, whom he saw enter it and take off the top part of his head. What about this notion of repentance then, brothers and sisters in Christ? We know well, if we read history, the conflict between the king at the time, who was called Henry II, and Thomas the Becket, was about the role of the authority of the church over the state in church affairs. Thomas stood his ground on this account. We can recall also the amazing story of the four assassins who would murder Thomas in cold blood in an act of obedience, blind obedience to King Henry II, who one time in his conflict with Thomas was reported to have said, Who will rid me of this man? He has given me more trouble than the rest of my subjects put together. What of these assassins? They broke into the Archbishop's house when Vespers was beginning at Canterbury Cathedral. They cut Thomas down and scattered his brains on a pavement, took horse and then departed. But what about these assassins? And this is a fact which is not very well recounted in this story, this life of Thomas, is that these assassins, four of them, became distracted with remorse for their own conscience. They lived alone without so much as a servant who would attend them. Sometime after, they travelled to Italy to receive absolution from the Pope. The Holiness told them to go on pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Three of them shut themselves up in a monastery in a place called Montenegro, as in a prison of penance, and the Pope had ordered them that they should live and die as penitents, which they did. They were buried before the gate of the Church of Jerusalem with this famous epitaph. Here lie the wretches who martyred Blessed Thomas, Archbishop of Canterbury. The other assassin who gave the first wound deferred or put off his penance to a later date and died of a miserable distemper in which his flesh rotted from his body and fell to pieces. But interestingly, he never ceased to implore with sighs and tears the intercession of the same saint, Saint Thomas. All of these four murderers died within 3 years of the martyrdom of the saint himself in the year 1170. What about also this notion of repentance as applied to King Henry II? After the canonization of St. Thomas Becket, Henry II had himself soundly scourged by willing monks in repentance for having suggested Becket's death. He made public penance. He told the murderers to exile themselves to France quietly, and on his death, Pope Alexander III forgave Henry for the murder of Thomas Becket. This is the notion of public repentance. This is what we can learn today, especially looking at this aspect. Should not our leaders of our nations now, be it the politicians and also the monarchy, who must give royal assent to the law, do public penance for participating in the passing of extreme and unjust laws which oppose the natural laws of God? Look at the consequences of these sins, especially talking about these scandalous abominations and legalization or legislation concerning homosexuality and the attempt to corrupt our purity of our youth in the schools with this nonsensical LGBT ideology. What then about the intrinsic evil of abortion? If these souls responsible for such laws then do not repent and make it public as what the church calls for, like Henry II? Are their hands not soiled with the blood of 10 million unborn babies in this country, aborted since 1967? What if they do not repent and find themselves one day before the seat of God's justice when they die? How will they respond when the Lord God asks them, "Were you the keeper of your brothers and sisters?" We must pray fervently for these souls with the help of the Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Thomas of Canterbury this day, for the grace of repentance to touch all these who are responsible for these great outrages against God's goodness. Let us also remember this great teaching today of the holiness of Saint Thomas a Becket. He did many wonderful works of charity, but he was rooted in holiness. Holiness must come first, because we cannot give to others what we have not in possession ourselves. We pray also today for our own interior and continual conversion of heart. Amen. May the holy names of Jesus and Mary be blessed now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.